Hello again. I've been wanting to do a podcast about rhinos for a little while because they're one of those iconic species that is obviously, and I think most people know they're severely under threat, and there is quite a good chance that we will lose them completely over the coming decades. And a lot of it is down to what I regard as really senseless poaching on our part, and that's to get rhino horn, which is used in Asian medicine, it's used for status, it's used for all sorts of nonsense, essentially, in those Asian countries. And definitely on the medical front, horns are made of keratin, which is the same as our fingernails and our hair, and it has no proven medical benefits whatsoever. So it's complete nonsense. And it does make me quite annoyed, which might be coming through in my voice, that these amazing animals are being killed off for absolutely no good reason whatsoever. It's just absolutely senseless. Anyway, let me tell you more about them. Some of the numbers and things I'm going to use may be wrong. A lot of these estimates are guesses and they change from time to time. So I always do a bit of research on these podcasts, and I've tried to give you the most up-to-date information I can find, but you may well find something more up-to-date when you listen to this. Currently, there are 5 species of rhino still around. They have been linked to other species, and in fact, genetically, they're not too far removed from things like zebra, believe it or not. But there are 5 species currently recognized, 2 of them in Africa and 3 of them in Asia. So the African rhino are the black rhino and the white rhino, and I'll talk about those in a bit. And in Asia, there are 3 species, the Sumatran rhino, the Javan rhino, and the greater one-horned rhino. Now, to give you an idea of how many individuals are around, I'll just run through them. And as I say, these numbers are quite likely not correct. So if they're correct, that will be a happy accident. But with the black rhino, they are listed as critically endangered. And something I read was talking about the numbers being 5,000 to 5,400 in the wild total, and this I believe is adult animals. That's generally what's counted, certainly by IUCN for their ratings, so critically endangered. And apparently that number, though, has increased over the last 20 years. So that's good news, although the number's still very, very small. By comparison, the white rhino is listed as near threatened, and there are around 16,000 white rhino throughout Africa. And then with the Asian rhino, we've got the Sumatran rhino, which again is listed as critically endangered. That animal, there are between the numbers I have, 34 to 47 adults. That's so less than 50, which is, they are highly likely to go extinct very, very soon, because that really is a very small number to recover from. The Javan rhino is even, similar number. They're also critically endangered. The number I have here is 66 adults left. And with the Javan, that's probably a closer number to the truth, because they're only found in one place. I'm going to say this wrong, I'm sure, but the Ujung Kulon National Park in Java, that's a World Heritage Site, and that's where they are. And unfortunately, the danger with having all of that population in one place, particularly that particular place, is that it is vulnerable to tsunamis. So if they have a tsunami and it hits that area, we could lose most of those animals. So again, the Javan rhino is pretty much hanging on by its fingernails. And then the other Asian species is the greater one-horned rhino, which is listed as vulnerable, and there are around 4,000 animals left. So that's pretty sad. You've got less than about 30,000 of all species still around throughout the world, which is a very small number. Now, I'll just go through some other things relating to this. So the largest of the rhinos, first of all, is the white rhino, and that can get up to 3.5 thousand kilos, so pretty heavy animal. I think they get up to about 2 meters high by the shoulder. The Sumatran, I believe, is the smallest. These guys mainly eat just grass and leaves, that sort of thing. And that's true for all of the species. Looking at the black and the white rhino, they're actually grey. So the African rhinos are both grey, but it comes to the lip. And white is a mispronunciation of the Afrikaans word for wide, which is wid, if I pronounced that correctly. Probably got that wrong. And basically it's wide because they have a fairly wide mouth. Their lip is pretty flat and wide. And that's really good for eating grass. So one comparison I saw on a particular website was that you can think of a white rhino as a lawnmower in the way it feeds. The black rhino, by comparison, which is still grey, but it has a more pointed lip. And that's because it doesn't have incisors. So it uses that lip as a way of feeding on leaves and that kind of thing. So the comparison that was given for the black rhino was that it's more of a tree pruner in the way that it feeds, but it uses that pointy lip to get a hold of things. I suppose much in the same way that the fingers on an elephant's trunk will also be used to help just grab small things. Right, so that, but that's basically the two African species, and that's where the, well, certainly where the white rhino name comes from, but they're definitely not white. To give you an idea of species, the males are referred to as bulls, and they tend to be more solitary and very territorial. The females are cows. They tend to be more sociable, and then the young are known as calves. What I hadn't realized, a bit embarrassed to admit this, but a group of rhinos is referred to a crash, apparently, which I did not know. So that was news for me. Now, in terms of speed, how fast they go, I did dig up some numbers. So the white rhino, I believe, is the fastest. In fact, rhinos are the fastest mammals that weigh above 1,000 kilo. And the white rhino can get up to 50 k's an hour, which is around 31 miles an hour. And the black rhino can get up to about 55 k's, which is about 35 miles an hour. Even the babies, they can't reach that sort of speed. But basically, a baby rhino, something, a sobering fact, if you come across rhino in the wild, is that a baby, even without a horn, is still faster and heavier than most people. So probably all people, actually. So rhinos are very fast. And if one starts running at you, you are in big trouble. One thing, so Graham, save yourself fact. One interesting difference between the Asian and the African rhinos is that the Asian rhinos are quite comfortable swimming. They'll swim across rivers, whereas the African rhinos are not very good swimmers. And in fact, if they get into deep water, they can drown. So they tend to avoid going in the water where they can. So if you are being chased by one and there's some water nearby, I would get in it. I mean, there might be crocodiles in there as well. You just don't know. But so if it's just not your day, that might be the case. But just an interesting differentiation between the two groups of rhino that are around. Another thing just about lifespan, this one is for the black rhino, but I think they're very similar. In the wild, they'll tend to live to between 30 and 35 years old. They have a gestation period of around 16 months, 15 to 16 months, and will generally have a single calf. So as always, with animals with a long gestation period, that does mean recovering the population numbers is quite a slow process. So that's another reason that hippos are quite vulnerable. I'm going to talk briefly about what preys on them as well, because they do have predators. This mainly applies to the younger animals. And they will tend to be lions if they're in the Asian ones. If there are tigers about, tigers will go after young rhino, but also animals like leopards, hyenas, wild dogs, and even crocodiles will all go after and prey on young rhinos. So Once they get to adulthood, they're not much is going to prey on them. You might get packs of animals going after them. I'm not sure how often that would happen, but we are definitely their number one threat. So I'm going to talk a little bit now about poaching. And I have been to places, this is in Africa, where they have rhino. And those places tend to have electrified fences around them to try and, well, just to make it more difficult for poachers to get at the animals. In one reserve I went to, I was asked not to post any pictures of the rhinos that might have geolocation information on. So because poaching is getting more sophisticated, it's not just local people nipping out and, you know, killing a rhino to get to the horn. It's got much more sophisticated. And if you're not aware, a lot of photographs, if you know how to, if you can get to the metadata on the photograph, it will actually have the location of where that photograph was taken. So if you look at your smartphone, if you look at pictures taken on your smartphone, for example, often it will show you where that photograph was taken and when. So clearly, if you're photographing something that's endangered, like a rhino, that is something that a poacher will go after, that data is freely available on websites. All they've got to do is start buzzing through things like Instagram, anywhere else where people are going to be posting their holiday photos. Facebook, I guess, would be another one. And, you know, hey, look, we saw these rhinos. But you might unwittingly be giving away the location of rhinos or the park. Now, I'm guessing that most poachers will know which parks have them. This is the problem, because a lot of parks will make that a reason to go to their park, but obviously that's where the rhinos are. So the poachers will know, but if you're posting images, let's say the day that you see them, and it's got the geolocation, and that's very helpful to certain groups. And you have to remember that a lot of poachers these days, they'll use things like helicopters to track rhino. If it's a very large area they're having to cover, they will find them using helicopters. They'll shoot them or tranquilize them. They'll use a chainsaw to actually cut off the horn and then often leave the animal. And if it isn't already dead, often they will bleed to death. So that's pretty horrible. So I'm not going to apologize for sharing that, because this is the reality of it. And this is why if you can do things to support wildlife organizations, this is what I try to do with my photographs, to put money back into projects. But definitely anything that helps anti-poaching is money well spent. And as I said at the start, the whole reasons for poaching is that idiots in primarily in Asian countries have these associations with rhino horn that are utter nonsense. So, but unfortunately, the people behind the poaching operations have a lot of money, and they will fund people on the ground to quite a high degree to get rhino horn. I saw somewhere, and I think it was, ounce for ounce, gram for gram, it's worth more than gold, which is absolutely absurd. But that's unfortunately the situation. So, keep going. So in terms of the horns, the Javan and the greater one-horned rhino only have a single horn, whereas the other three species, the Sumatran and the black and white rhino, have two horns, a longer one at the front and then a much smaller one behind that. And the horn tends to be used for digging, that sort of thing, although it can be used for defense, though some rhinos, some of the Asian rhinos will actually bite as a defensive action rather than use the horn, or in addition to using their horn. The horns do grow throughout a rhino's life, and white rhino horn will generally grow at something, a rate of something like 7 centimetres a year. And that means that the horns will get anything up to 1.5 metres long. I think the black rhino gets a little bit longer. So, yeah, they are there. Now, in some of the reserves that I've been to, and some that, you know, I haven't been to, one of the practices is to tranquilize rhino and actually remove their horns when they get to a certain size, and they cut them in a particular way so that they can regrow, and it isn't to the detriment of the animal, other than it's lost the horn. But unfortunately, the reason for doing this is to put off poachers, obviously, because if the horn has been removed by a vet, then there's no value in that animal for poachers. I'm sure it doesn't stop them killing them anyway. There is some just crazy things go on. In fact, a number I found, which I'm just going to quickly look up, is, something, this was from the World Wildlife Fund, and the information I read was saying that more than 7,100 African rhino had been killed in the past 10 years. And that approximates to roughly two a day, which is really frightening for an animal that has so few numbers anyway, to be killed at that rate. And, for no good reason. It's just crazy. Anyway, so that is largely it. Rhinos do have quite poor eyesight, which is, in fact, in common with elephants. And so they'll tend to charge if they're startled. And in fact, I did find some comparative speed. So I've already said that the fastest here is black rhino, can run it up to 55 k's an hour. Just for comparison, hippos can run it up to 30 k's an hour, which is still pretty fast, and they're very dangerous. They're probably they are the most dangerous mammal that you're going to come across if you go to Africa. They kill more people than any other animal. And elephants can run it up to 40 k's an hour. So they in terms of speed, they sit between the hippo and the rhino, and those three animals are the biggest land mammals anyway. The bad news is that it doesn't really matter which one's running at you. The chances are they're going to outrun you. Now, they can sustain these speeds for short bursts, so this isn't, they're not going to run marathons or anything, but even so, you do need to be very wary when you're around them. So that, I think, is pretty much everything I was going to say about rhinos. So it's a shorter podcast, but I thought they were just interesting things to know. So obviously the as I've said, I think the thing that most people know about rhinos is that they are endangered, and contrary to popular myth, they're not unicorns that have just let themselves go. But that was one of the jokes I heard that I quite liked. And obviously through time there've been different species of rhinos. So I think it's something like 50 to 60 different species or subspecies have existed through time of rhinos, including the woolly rhino that was around in certain places during the Ice Age. But we today have five left. But as you've heard, some of them, we probably won't have five left for very much longer. And the chance I'll be lucky to have one left in a few decades. So sad news, which unfortunately is the case with a lot of these wildlife discussions. Animals are under threat. And I guess from the perspective of human impact, obviously predators are poachers are the number one threat. And that's quite an appalling thing that can be stopped. But also loss of habitat, which is a common theme as well. And it relates to most wildlife, and certainly I think pretty much all of the endangered species. The reason that they are becoming endangered is that we're just encroaching continually on the habitats that they've traditionally lived in. And it's this they're trying to find a happy medium where people and animals can live together without detriment to either side. But it is a very difficult thing to sort out. Okay, so that's it for this podcast. As I say, it was a short one, but I hope you found that interesting, maybe learned something. And if you want to do something to support rhinos, there are different groups around, and World Wildlife Fund is a good one to support. If you're interested in general wildlife conservation, please take a look at the pictures I have on my site, because, as you may or may not know, I put 10%, a minimum of 10% of the sale price to projects, and I outline those projects in the website, and also I support Tree Nation. So when you buy something, you'll get a tree planted somewhere where it's needed. Okay, so I will speak to you again in the next podcast. Bye for now. Just before I go, I want to let you know that there's a couple of ways you can support me if you feel so inclined. With the podcast, Buzzsprout, which is the platform I use for all of my podcasts, they have a subscription model. So if you feel that you would like to subscribe a few dollars, a few euros, whatever, to the podcast, that'd be much appreciated. The other option is my Patreon membership. So if you'd like to become a patron, and that starts at the price of a cup of coffee every month, you'll get access to exclusive material, behind-the-scenes material, photography tips, all this kind of stuff, depending on which tier you're at. So there is some information available through my website and also on the written text to go with this podcast. So if you choose either one, thank you so much in advance. And whether or not you do, I hope you continue to enjoy the podcast and let other people know about them. Thank you very much. Bye for now.